All right. And since we don't have Ian, and sometimes it drives me a little nutty to do the beginning opening stuff, I'm going to have Caroline explain some of the beginning parts of this chapter to us. And so today, last class we went over the Bhavapada Adhyaya. Adhyaya means chapter. So the chapter on Bhavapadas, house arudas. And that was fun, right? Was everybody right here mm-hmm. that time? Were you there last week, Parvati?
Yeah, I was here.
All right. I don't know if I introduced this in the beginning of that class, but that's one of my specialties is aruda. And once recently there was a big astrologer, like one of the bigger, you know, names, and he posted something. He said, "Is there anything written on Aruda besides Sanjay Roth and Freedom Cole?"
I'd like to ask a question about the Aruda, but maybe I can hold it till the end of class.
No, go ahead from the Aruda. It's better we deal with last week now, and then because we're jumping into a principle that works from Lagna or Aruda Lagna. Or I shouldn't say or. I should say from Lagna and Aruda Lagna.
Okay. So the bit about the dual rulership. And so I was looking at the dual rulership of Aquarius. With Saturn and Rahu.
Yeah.
And with Saturn, using Saturn as a ruler, the Upapada Lagna,
yeah.
Upapada, the 12th house.
We're talking from your chart or from someone else's chart?
From mine. Sorry.
Yeah.
So the Aruda Lagna, Upapada from the 12th is in the 4th house. Using Saturn as the ruler, and then using Rahu as the ruler, it goes.
Oh, so we're looking at 10th. We're doing Upapada, Aruda the 12th.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because there's both Saturn and Rahu there.
Yeah.
Because Rahu's ruling its own house, it goes to the 7th from it. No, it goes to the 10th, sorry.
Yeah.
So it goes to the 7th, and then it goes 8, 9, 10. So then it goes to the 9th house, right? So then would you look at that and say, because the lord of the 9th house, Mars, is exalted, that Rahu would be stronger versus the lord of the 4th house, Mercury, which is kind of in the 8th house and combust. So that would make Saturn weaker and Rahu stronger? Or would we look at Saturn and Rahu itself? You see what I'm saying?
Yes. So Upapada has a slightly different rule. But okay. For the Aruda Lagna purposes, there's two different thoughts. One thought is you go from the stronger lord, and we use those general strength rules. Remember we went through and we were like, which one's stronger? And we're just like, boo, that one has more planets. End. But that the same amount of planets, you know, so that quick rule. So all of a sudden, here we start using that quick rule. And if we look, Saturn and Rahu, they have the same amount of planets. So then we go to the next rule. So, you know, you start to, so one school is, which one of them is stronger? Mm-hmm. I myself am a big promoter of the other school, which is we use the stronger of where that Aruda lands. So
of the lord of that house.
Just in general, you know, like, for example, you're okay. looking at the 9th and the 4th. And if one of those had a planet and one didn't, then we would use the one that had a planet.
Right, okay.
As the stronger. If not, then we, you know, just down, you follow the rules based upon those standard rules that we learned last week.
So in this case, because the 4th house has aspect from Saturn and Rahu, both, then the 10th house would actually be the better house.
And so this is the thing now. So as I said, for Aruda Lagna, that's the rule. Now for Upapada in America, And I'm going to stress that again, for Upapada in America. Now, if we went to Latin America or India or some of these places where people get married once and they actually stay married their whole life, that's very different than in America where people, I mean, it's common they have 3-4 marriages. So we have to start, we use different rules based upon...
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this. Okay, yeah. You mentioned this in the lecture.
Yeah, and so for if we were talking to somebody in India, like who was traditional, or a Catholic family from Latin America, we would be doing the strongest Aruda, the strongest Upapada. But in America, what happens is we take the weaker Upapada, that shows first spouse, then the stronger Upapada shows the next spouse. And the tendency is that the weaker Upapada gives results first.
Okay, so the weaker would be the one that would be afflicted, which would be the fourth house because it's of Saturn and Rahu, versus the ninth house. Mars is exalted, so okay. And then I was playing around and doing the exercise, and I saw that I was doing the pada of Venus, and because it was in its own house. So then I went opposite to it, and 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, no, that wasn't. Oh, there was one more question. Maybe it was about the A5.
What about A7? Is that?
What about A7?
How does that play out in
terms of
your...
So how does it play out in America versus how does it play out in the world?
I remembered this.
Is that the mistress?
I remember the question, Freedom. Yeah. So then when we were looking at the Aruda Lagna, right? So my Aruda Lagna falls in my 10th house, which is Sagittarius. And then I was doing A10, and A10 fell in the 4th house. So we were, and you were talking in the lecture about, you know, like your reputation and such.
A10,
from the Aruda,
A10 can't fall in the fourth house.
Well, the tenth house is Jupiter, which is in the seventh house. So then I counted 10 from 10 and got to the fourth.
Yeah, but it can't be 1-7 from the house.
From itself, okay. So it would go back to the seventh.
Itself. So from the fourth, you count 10 more.
Oh, 10 more from the fourth, and it goes into the Lagna.
Exactly.
And so when people, so that's interesting. Okay, so then.
And the A10 has different rules.
So the Lagna falls into the 10th house. The Aruda Lagna falls into the 10th house, and the A10 falls into the Lagna.
Yes.
So the way people see me and my reputation is one and the same.
Right? A10 isn't reputation. Reputation is Aruda Lagna. A10
is fame.
No, A10. So tell me the difference between Bill Clinton and George W. Bush.
They're both famous, but one in a negative way and one in a positive way. One could get away with whatever he wanted to do and people still loved him, and the other one, no matter what he did, it was always a flub.
Yeah. And then what about what was the president in 76?
Jimmy Carter.
What's the deal with Jimmy Carter? What did he do, and what do people think of him?
Nobody liked him,
but what did he do?
He did everything good,
and nobody liked him. So he he had a bad A10. So people didn't appreciate the work that he did.
So if that A10 falls into the Lagna, then...
It's irrelevant of Lagna. We look at how beneficial it is. And so it's in Lagna, but we see it's aspected by Jupiter and Moon. So it means the work that you do, and because it's in Lagna, it has to mean in the external world, you'll be famous for. Your work will be famous. You won't be famous, but your work is going to be famous.
Or seen as, perceived as.
No, What fame is a perception.
Right.
What makes Prince and Michael Jackson any better than all these other singers? They're just famous. They just got fame.
They have a lot of talent, too. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have talent, though, you know?
That's true.
They make it nowhere. And because they don't get recognized, they don't get money, and then they don't develop even more.
And that would be more the Aruda we're looking at to see that.
But you can see them together, but they're slightly different. The Aruda Lagna is how people perceive you.
Okay.
The A10 is how they perceive your work.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
And
what you do.
You do. It's like the difference between, is Freedom a well-known guy? Do people like him? Versus, do people like the course that I teach? The course, that's my work.
Right, okay.
Me, that's, you know, you can like the course and not like me.
Yeah, okay.
There's a difference between those realms. You can have a center in Mexico where people come and get healed, and it can be a famous center, and people say, wow, what an incredible center, that's where I want to go. And they not even know who your name is.
Right, okay.
And so that A10, you know, it's you have this nice A10, but, you know, there's nothing special happening to the AL. So it's showing that the work is going to, the workplace, the work that you establish is actually has more of a name and reputation than you do.
I see.
And look, that's similar to what Bill had on his Aruda Lagna, you have on your A10. No matter what you're doing down there in Mexico, they think it's awesome.
I better get to Mexico then. Okay, cool. Thank you for helping me to differentiate that.
Yeah. All right. Argala, principle of Argala. So there's a set order here, and there's a reason that we do, just like we did the Rashis before the Bhavas, we did that because that's how the Rishis teach it. They teach the Rashis and then the Bhavas. And in that same way, Parashara teaches the Bhavapadas, and then he teaches Argala. And where's Upapada Lagna come in there? He has a chapter on Upapada Lagna. Is Upapada Lagna before, after?
Just after.
After what?
Argala Lagna.
So we have Ishta and Kashta Balas, so he goes into strengths, and then after strengths, he goes into Bhavapadas. Does that sound familiar? We're going in his order. And then after Bhavapadas, he does Upapada. Upapada, I'm saving for volume 3 that won't be done for another 10 years. and Upapada might be its own book, actually. And then he does Argala. And then from there he does Navamsha, but we throw a few things in the middle before we do Navamsha.
What book are you looking that up in, Freedom?
That's Parashara.
Okay.
The Argala Adhyaya follows after the Upapada Adhyaya. All right. Let's see. All right, Caroline, let's see here. Maitreya says to Parashara, that's you. You gotta unmute.
Okay. O One Giving Blessings, you have spoken of the goodness that will be given by Argala. I am anxious to hear the particulars on these results. O Sage.
Maitreya, huh?
Oh, okay, never mind.
Maitreya.
Go ahead.
What? One more time. Give it a good read.
Okay. O One Giving Blessings, you have spoken of the goodness that will be given by Argala. I am anxious to hear the particulars of these results. O Sage.
Maitreya, that which is called Argala gives definite, dridda, results of a house, and the fixed, stira, results of the planets. it will be expounded greatly by me. So, I mean, this is hardcore language. Dridda. Where else did we see this word dridda?
Karmic.
Karma. Fixed karma is dridda. So it's not that this is fixed karma, but this is... We're getting these... The things being indicated here are... Argil is giving us a more dridda type of result. It's a fix. It's something that will be happening. And the stira, results of the planets, the things that are fixed... That's heavy duty language, huh?
Expounded greatly.
All right, so it says Argila shows the objectives of the native, why the Graha shows the desires, physical influence. Argila shows interaction of every house with every other house. Parashara says, it's me again, huh? Is there any, no Maitreya anymore? That was it, Maitreya? Yeah, that was it, Maitreya. Know that a planet... I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the verse. You're going to explain it, Caroline. All right. So the most important thing is Argila shows the interaction of every house and Graha with every other house and Graha. Every house and... You know how hippies say it's all connected? It's all connected. They're crazy. This is how it's all connected. This is the rules for how it's all connected. So Parashara says, know that a planet in the 4th, 2nd, and 11th give Argila respectively, and a planet taking position of the 10th, 12th, and 3rd become an obstacle. All right, Maitreya, explain that.
Okay, so we'll just use the Lagna for an example, because it's kind of... Then you get the concept that basically when there's planets in the second house, if there's more planets in the second house than the 12th house, you're going to receive Argila. And if there's more in the 12th than the second, then you'll have Virota or obstruction for that Argila. And the same can be said with if there's more planets in the 11th and the 3rd, and then in the 4th and 10th. So basically when you're trying to figure out what the Argila are the things that are going to provide support for you, to receive the goal of whatever house or planet that you're looking at.
What if you have one planet in each?
Then you need to figure out which one is stronger.
And how do we do that? How do we do that, Maitreya?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I think you could use the Jaimini strength rules.
All right. And the Jaimini strength rules is the cheat sheet of Parashara's strength rules. Just so we're clear, okay? Mm-hmm. Remember, Parashara says all those things. Jaimini just gives us the order that we put them in. So we're doing the strength rules. Okay. Standard strength rules. So it was important that we spent time with that, right? Now what you're saying is all good, Maitreya, but malefics in the 3rd change the obstruction. So they change from obstruction and then they give Argila instead. Best of Brahmins, or I should say best of students. That is known as Viparita Argila, and thus should be known the planet and house results from the division of the chart. So Viparita Argila. So what's that mean? Maitreya?
That means that planet malefics in the 3rd will reverse and then give Argila, or like reverse the obstruction and give Argila.
Okay. Well, and what does that mean that they're going to give Argila?
That they'll support the objective of whatever house you're planning or looking at.
All right.
Or give their support, yeah.
All right.
So what if it's Sun and Mercury? The Sun is like a mild malefic. And
no, it's
Mercury,
a malefic. Sun's malefic.
Okay, and Mercury is kind of...
It's a benefic.
Cahoots with whoever he's with.
So Mercury's giving Bhadaka, Sun's giving Argila.
Okay.
So in the dasha of Mercury type stuff, there'll be the Virodha, the blockage, and in the dashas of the Sun, there'll be Argala. Okay. And if
why
one is stronger
you,
than the
other...
Why did
you say that Mercury gives Bhadaka? Are you looking at a specific chart?
Not Bhadaka, Virodha. The term that Parashara says Bhadaka, but it's better we say Virodha so that we don't confuse it with the other type of Bhadaka. So there's Argala Bhadaka, which, or Argala and Virodha. So that which gives and that which is blocking, which is giving. And so, Maitreya, there's also the fifth house and the ninth house. The fifth also gives Argala, and the ninth is its Virodha. So here we see Parashara using the term Virodha. And so he uses the term Virodha and Bhadaka interchangeably here, but we'll stay with Virodha that he uses just so we don't get confused. All right. Argala can be calculated both from houses and from planets. Parashara mentions an exception. Oh, what's that exception, Maitreya?
When calculating from K2, you'll calculate in reverse.
All right, but what does Parashara say?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
He says the houses are understood in reverse from the dark planet.
Hmm. So it's interesting. He's saying that the tamograha, the dark planet, and it's singular, but like, is that Saturn? Is that Rahu? Is that K2? You know, like we don't really, you know, it's a question. And then people started getting into fights over it and getting really intense. And so Jaimini, in his clarification, the Upadesha, the commentary sutras, he clarifies and says, Viparitam Ketu. Okay, so everybody say that with me. Viparitam Ketu.
In the version of the BPHS that I have, it shows, I don't know if it's just a translation, it says Rahu in Ketu.
Yeah, it's just the translation. This is the Sanskrit. It says Tamo Graha Bhava. Okay. The house, Bhava, of the Tamo Graha. Tamas.
Singular.
Tamas means what?
Dark K2 or Mars-like energy.
But Tamas, what's Tamas mean?
No.
Just from your Ayurvedic background.
Inertia,
dark, heavy. Okay. That's all it's saying. So it's that dark, heavy planet, house, you go in reverse. So that could be... you could even try and argue that it's Mars, but more Saturn and Rahu or K2. So... And Jaimini makes it clear. Oh, no, he was meaning K2 there. And if you get cold, you can shut that door, okay? And so, Maitreya, why do we go backwards or reverse from K2?
We go backwards from K2 because K2 doesn't have objectives in this world. So he's more concerned, it's more looking at the spirituality. So therefore it's more about, it's not really like the same way that we look at what these other planets are trying to get to, like better ourselves in our more material plane situation.
All right. Argala of individual houses.
I have a quick question regarding the primary Argala of the houses 2, 11, and 4.
Yeah.
So basically, like on a very simplistic level, if there's a planet in house 2, 11, or 4, that means that planet has direct intervention on that house.
Direct intervention on the house that it is 2 from, or that it is 11 from, or that it is 4 from.
So if we're looking at the second... Okay, so we're not looking at the Rashi chart and the houses from that respect to 11 and 4.
We're looking at everything. when we get to Argala, when we're done this chapter, we're looking at everything.
Okay, so my question.
By the end of tonight, and after having listened to this class online,
okay,
your goal is to see that everything affects everything.
Okay.
if your mom gets divorced from your dad and gets remarried, does that affect you?
Everything affects everything, for sure.
If your brother becomes a billionaire, does that affect you?
Maybe not.
I mean, you're still going to be going to his weddings and hanging out at the family gatherings on his yacht, you know? If the school that you went, you know what I mean? Everything that happens in your life mm-hmm. around you has an impact on you.
Yes.
And that's what Argala is showing. Argala shows how everything affects everything.
So how it's affected, but with this first simplistic rule of a planet in fourth, second, and 11th give Argala. So yeah. Does that mean like literally like planets in the second house like are working towards the fulfillment of the objective of that house? So let's say if Saturn's in the second house, Saturn is there to help that house, or it's part of the objective of value.
So the big thing is what if we wanted to see from your Aruta Lagna parole? Who's giving second house Argala from your Aruta Lagna?
Oh, I see. Okay, so the second house is Mars.
Uh-huh. So Mars is giving second house Argala from the Aruta Lagna. So what is Mars doing for the Aruta Lagna?
Whatever, like helping to increase value and resources and...
Exactly.
Things of the such, okay.
For your image, for how well you're known. Now, because it's Mars and because it's in the 11th house, what does that look like? What is growing and increasing your image?
People, network, circles,
what else?
Discipline,
what else?
Capricorn.
Yep, what else?
Work in the community?
I wouldn't say community. 11th. 11th house. What do we think of when we think of 11th house?
I think of networks and community and resources and people.
What's gains mean?
Gains coming in.
Huh?
What's coming in?
Well, which is what? Income. So the more she makes, the more famous she becomes. We activate that Mars gets activated, she starts making lots of money, her image goes up. Some people need money to become famous, some people don't need money to become famous. She needs some money to become famous.
Exalted Mars to help her.
But she's got it to help her. But we got to see there's a connection there. Now, my Aruta Lagna's in the fourth. So the second from it is the fifth. So does money have anything to do with my fame raising?
Intelligence
has to do with it. Exactly.
And creativity.
So it everything matters. Okay? Everything matters and everything is affecting everything. All right, so let's get all the rules down first, and then before we start going into more chart stuff. So Argala of individual houses. Let's see, Dan, you wanna give some readings here?
Sure.
You wanna read Parashara's words for us, and be Parashara, like step into it, make it enjoyable, so we're all like here in Parashara.
The second house, Argala, makes one wealthy and fortunate. The third gives co-born, happiness, indulgent, mukta, and intelligence. The fourth house, Argala, gives houses, livestock, and family. The fifth gives children, grandchildren, etc., and a person endowed with understanding. The sixth gives fear from enemies. The seventh gives much wealth and happiness from spouse. The eighth gives misery and trouble, kashtam, while the ninth gives bhagya. The tenth gives kingly respect, the 11th gives profits and gains, and the intervention of the 12th gives abundant expenses.
All right, so here he mentions all of them, right? He mentions every house, Argala. So we see, even though before he's saying what the primary Argalas are, he's mentioning that all houses have an Argala or a Virota. Who wants to talk about the 6th and 8th, Argala and Virota?
Freedom, I'm sorry to ask this question, yeah, but when you're doing the Argala and Virota, is it only when we're looking at the Padas, or is it also, do we also use it with the Rashi?
We'll give some examples in a minute. We use it with the everything affecting everything. We use with everything.
Okay, all right. Sorry to ask again.
Nope. But literally, like, listen, and I'm dead serious. The everything that affects everything, we use with everything.
Got it.
So everything includes planets, signs, arudapadas, special lagnas, divisional charts, dashas, I don't know, even some weird alien points that haven't existed yet, we'll still use the Argala from. All right. To see how the everything affecting everything affects that weird undiscovered alien thing, okay? Let's see. We're gonna go through all of them, and you guys are gonna tell me about each of these. So who wants to jump with the hardest one, which is the 6-8? I see a hand raised over here.
Am I reading it or?
No, you're telling me. You're telling me. What's the difference between the 6-8?
6 and 8. So 6th house has a mix of giving Argala and also being an instructor, and 8th is gives Argala.
The 6, what'd you say? Is what?
Argala and an instructor?
No!
Why does it say that on 2 or 4? So, no, 6th house is an instructor, and then 8th house gives Argala. And 8th house gives Argala because...
Well, why does the 6th house give obstruction?
Because it's... enemies, cute disease...
No.
Why?
Yeah.
It's a Dustana, but so is an 8.
Yeah. If I am trying, let's say I wanted to start a university and somebody wanted to sue me and say, oh, you don't have the right to teach that, how well is my university going to go up if I'm in the middle of a big lawsuit?
Not very well at all.
All right. Now, the 8th, now if somebody says, ooh, you're starting a university, here's a few $1 million loan.
So you get it, but you have debt, but you're still able to proceed forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
I might, and you know, I might die an extra 10, 20 years early because of that debt. You know, debt, like, it takes your longevity away. Hmm. But it's still going to allow me to do things. The recent house I bought, like, my partner, she had cash, and I didn't have cash, but I had, like, $10,000 on this credit card, $12,000 on that credit card, all this, like multiple places where I had, like, where I could, like, charge things up and, like, take on debt to be able to accomplish that. And we were able to buy a house because...
Combined effort of...
Yeah, because I was able to take, you know, to be able to hold the debt that was going to be bringing. Okay. So that's a capacity to be able, you know, like, I mean, can you go get a loan right now for an $800,000 house?
No,
you need that. That's a big capacity to be able to take on a loan like that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the 8th house Argala.
Okay.
And 8th house Argala is real powerful, particularly in the D10. Because that's the potential of a business being able to take. What kind of loans can your business take to grow? All right. So I hope somebody's been studying up, because who's doing 5-9?
Freedom, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, yeah.
Is inheritance, is that the eighth house too?
Yep. And you get some big old chunk of inheritance. I mean, you got something to do something with, right? Sixth house, mm-hmm. that's the person that steals your inheritance.
Are you seeing that particular for Caroline's chart?
No, that's just everybody. Okay. Sixth house is that they're the people that, like, they want your inheritance. Like, for me, like, when my grandfather died, like, all of a sudden, he had an older sister, and the will that was written before my dad was born, because my dad had already passed when my grandfather died, the will that was written before my dad was born, that everything went to his sister, that's the one they found. They couldn't find the one that was written after my dad was born. Now, my dad died at 54. So, but they could only find the one that was written before my dad was born. So now, was that an eighth house activity or was that a sixth house activity?
Sixth house.
That was sixth house. That's underhanded and enemy kind of action. Yeah. So somewhere in there, there's sixth house. That sixth house is stronger than the eighth. Otherwise, I would have gotten some nice chunks of property, you know, with, yeah. So, okay, who's doing 5-9? You're doing 3-11, Caroline.
Five-nine.
Yeah.
The fifth gives Argala because
I like this one.
There's a sustaining energy behind it of being able to, like, intellectualize what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the ninth, I'm not sure what to say about that.
Isn't the fifth like yourself, and then the ninth is like the outer, like the public's perception of...
So ninth is tradition, right?
Tradition?
Who says tradition? Who says that?
Like, song I was singing?
Yeah, who says that?
Jewish.
The Hasids. The Hasids say that. And the Hasids, they say tradition. They're all about tradition. They walk around wearing late 1700s, early 1800s Polish clothing because that's the tradition. Now, how creative are they with their clothing?
They're not.
They're not at all.
Yeah.
So that fifth house creativity is completely blocked by that tradition.
Okay.
People steeped in tradition, people, hardcore Christians who believe that all the answers are in the Bible. And the tough one, like, I have nothing wrong with the whole Bible as a holy book. It's just when you believe that it's only that book that becomes the issue. You know that at the time the Bible was written, there were multiple texts. And a bunch of upper-class Greek men chose a particular few to be official. And the rest weren't. And some people believe that it was God who guided that, even though they just happen to be some upper-class white Greek males. Somehow God chose them and guided them, but, you know, God, why did God, I was talking to a Christian like that, and I said, yeah, and then why did God guide somebody to dig up in the cave that lost book that they had burned? And, you know, when the Portuguese landed in the 1500s in India, at the time of Jesus, there was 12 disciples, and Thomas went to India. And he started a whole Christian... He turned the state of Goa Christian. So there's a whole Christian state coming direct from Jesus. Direct from Jesus. The Portuguese landed there, and they were under the Catholic Church. You know what they did to the teachings? They burned them all. They burned them all. So we don't even know what Thomas was teaching over there, because they burned them all. Because it didn't match the church. So, official and that being God chosen, I mean, if they burned the other books, like, it was some Portuguese white guy that burned the books. It wasn't God burning the books, you know? God kept them there till the 1500s.
any which way. So, you know, that difference between ninth house tradition and the, you know, that's when that ninth really becomes a blockage. Compared to that fifth, it's creativity. Let's create something new. Let's not be held back by this. That's unless, great that it's there.
What if there is a malefic in the fifth that's making you...
Yeah, what about
lose
it?
Lose your intelligence in a yeah, way. And yeah. Then in the ninth house, you have an exalted Jupiter.
So tell me about it.
I would actually favor that ninth house. And
yeah, you would what? So tell me more. It's Rahu in the fifth and Jupiter in the ninth.
You would... I don't, are you mean like remedies wise?
No, tell me what's happening.
So Rahu is creating delusions in your intelligence.
Well, Rahu's unorthodox to begin with.
That true. So yeah. That's totally antithesis to ninth house. But Jupiter's still, I guess, being in nine, would it still be based in this dharmic kind of, would it still be held back?
Well, all we have what happens when there's an equal planet in both sides?
Oh, well then.
Becomes abundant. There becomes a struggle between what? What's the struggle?
Between the two planets.
Yeah, but what's that? What's it look like in life?
Mixed results.
Like somebody guilt tripping themselves, like somebody having devious thoughts, like hey, I'm gonna do this, and then have their moral sort of Jupiterian side, you know. Be like, well, no, that's not the right way to do it. Like some sort of a guilt within oneself.
Total. It can be guilt. It doesn't have to be guilt, though. It can just be like, oh, the right way is this, and I have to wake up at this time, and I have to do that, and the scripture says this, and the church says that, and yet they're going, you know, fifth house Rahu, partying and staying up all night, and
and Dasha too, right? You can see if one's more activated.
Yeah, but just the general story that's happening there. So So in that point, what's going to be better to strengthen the Rahu or the Jupiter?
Dupes. Rahu?
I'm asking you.
I would Jupiter, unless Kay. It's crushed like in by other aspects that are, but I would say in general Jupiter.
Okay. And now what if I said you're being prejudiced against religions and thinking that religions is better, and an unorthodox, crazy, fun-loving person is more important? What if I said that? How would you argue against me?
No judgments.
Keep your point.
No judgment.
But she made a judgment, you know. So by saying Jupiter, like we want to promote,
because Jupiter's the guru, and Jupiter is the greatest benefic, and he's the sattvic planet, and Jupiter is the guru.
Right there.
Sattva.
Jupiter sattva, and what does sattva bring into the life?
Sattva.
Peace.
Clarity. Peace. Happiness. Clarity. Mental health. Rahu is.
Tamasic.
So it's going to bring problem. It's going to bring mental disorders. It's going to bring mental suffering. It's going to bring ill health. This is our reasoning. And so yes, we're going to promote Jupiter, but we're not promoting Jupiter because we believe that Dharma and religion is better. We're promoting the sattvic way of life. Just okay. That's our.
100%.
Okay. Because sattva brings health. All right, did we do enough of fourth and no, of fifth and ninth? What else about fifth and ninth? What if it was Jupiter in the fifth and Rahu in the ninth?
Well, I'd say that you have bad advice coming to you.
Oh, bad advice?
Like internally, you know, what your decision making and creating, like you're wanting to go with the more sattvic option, but then whatever you've been taught or the tradition that you're in is like leading you astray.
Uh-huh.
So, it would depend, again, like you said, on which of those two is stronger as to what...
Are we going to, in that case, promote somebody to follow the religious leanings of the family they're coming from? And deny their own inner calling?
Yeah, no, but I mean, you probably wouldn't say to them flat out, like, quit your religion, but maybe to spend more time in meditation to find, you know, their own truth and when they follow their intuition.
Not truth. Their own intuition is good, but more specific than intuition.
Their inner guidance?
Their own inner guidance. To really be focusing on that inner guidance more than the outer. Recently had somebody that had that combination in here, and they were modern day yogi that came from a Mormon family. So, you know, and they had left the religion, and when they left the religion, they were called crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you're crazy. How can you not be? I don't know what the doctrine of, I don't know too much about Mormonism, but everybody said that there was something wrong with them, you know? So now if that person didn't have a sattvic planet in the fifth, what would they think?
They would follow suit with their...
They might believe that the family is right, that there's something wrong with them if they left. All right. So who's doing 410?
I'll try. Okay, so the fourth is Argala. It's like your house, your vehicle, your, you know, domicile. It's like resources, deals with your resources. And the tenth is the work, which is Verona, which is the work keeps you, maybe your work keeps you away from your heart, from your values. That's all I got.
All right, Dan. So person comes to you, they have Jupiter moon in the 10th and Ra and Saturn in the 4th.
Okay.
And they spend, I'll give you, this is a real chart. They spend all their time working, and they're wanting to not work as much because their friends say they're working too much and they should stay home and play more. And so they're feeling bad that they get so much joy about going to work.
Okay.
So they want to know what they can do to cut back in work and get out of work. Because, you know, everybody's saying it's so horrible that you work so much. You're so old now. You should be, you know, spending more time at home and with friends.
So it was Rahu in the fourth?
Saturn. And I actually don't remember. It was a malefic there. I thought it was that Jupiter moon in the 10th. What do you say to her?
Do you tell them that their friends are wrong, that they should just keep working and... That's the best thing they can do for the world. It's their...
Keep going, their keep going.
Dharma.
Keep going, keep going.
Staying home is preventing them from, like, nurturing and teaching the world to be a better place.
She's not staying home. She's overworked all the time, but she loves her work. She's working all the time, but she loves her work. But her friends tell her she should be stopping. What do you say to her? Practice right now. Pretend Sarah over here is that's Sarah's chart. And she says, all my friends are saying I gotta stop working because I'm just like, all my life is over in the job place.
You should bring your friends to work.
No, come on. What do you say to her?
I really don't know.
Well, Saturn creates...
Take a stab at it. She's your client right now. She's right here. And you put a thing out, and she brought $100 to give you a donation when you're done.
So, and I mean, like...
I guess I just, you know, tell her that the work she's doing is good and that, that's what she really should be focusing on. She's really doing the work she needs to be doing.
Use these rules.
Use these rules?
That Jupiter moon are creating what in her 10th house?
Baroda.
Baroda. Which means what? From
enjoying what's at home.
From enjoying what's at home. But what's at home?
Saturn's at home.
How's she feel at home?
Not the greatest.
Not the greatest.
Bad.
Not, it's in the house of the moon, so it probably brings a lot of heavy, like emotional heaviness or some sort of heaviness.
So where's she putting all her energy?
Towards Jupiter and moon, because Jupiter and moon are benefic.
And so, you know, all her friends are older and retiring and being at home. Is that the life for her?
Not at the moment. Doesn't seem.
Could maybe, I don't know what science is, but you could tell her that she could like try to beautify her home and hire someone to do feng shui.
I told her, I said, forget what they're saying. You love your work. She says, yes. I said, enjoy your work. There's nothing wrong with enjoying your work. You love your work and it keeps you away from home and time with the friends, but that's fine. You know, like you enjoy it. Like it's, you're doing good work in the world and the world needs you. Like let go of what they say and you know, yes, it blocks you from being home and that's the way, you know.
She's not receiving as a promise.
But that's the way reality works. People tell us things and we think something's wrong. It might not.
And
be
then
wrong.
Maybe when her Saturn dasha comes around, then she'll be at home more because Saturn's in that.
Yeah,
in
but,
that
the, but the big thing is there's two planets in the 10th and only one in the 4th. So that Jupiter moon, they're winning.
Wouldn't that activate Saturn more during the dasha period?
It still won't overcome the Varoda.
It wouldn't?
No, that Varoda's gonna win.
So this is always the way it'll be then, forever? She'll just never feel comfortable at home.
If Jupiter was in the 10th and Saturn was in the 4th, then the dasha would be able to change it. But it's two planets compared to one. So that Argala is completely blocked.
So that's a fixed. This is fixed. Okay. In this person's chart.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That Argala completely blocks that. So if it was an exalted Saturn, it would be this big, beautiful, well taken care of house. But she wouldn't be there because, you know, there's those two planets over there keeping her at work. So Dan, you started going in the right direction. You just didn't take your gut seriously. It's like, yes, forget about the friends. Like, you saw how awesome her job was. Like, we support her to love her work. Now, what if it was Jupiter in the 4th and Saturn Rahu in the 10th? Ha ha, Dan, on you. And she says, oh, I spent all my time working. And I'm getting old and I'm not home enough. And it's Saturn Rahu in the 10th and Jupiter in the 4th.
Well, she's kind of stuck.
she's stuck.
What do you say?
Well, based on what you were saying, like the two planets winning, like she's not going to be able to stay away from it anyway.
Yeah.
But Saturn Rahu in the 7th and Jupiter in the 4th.
Jupiter in the 4th, Saturn Rahu in the 10th. So how's work?
Work is mischievous.
It's pretty intense. Saturn Rahu brings a lot of intensity. It's a storm. She goes to work and it's crazy energy over there. And how's the home?
Home is good. It's
how's she
expensive.
Feeling?
Expensive.
Yeah.
You say expensive?
Expensive. So what advice do you give her?
Stay home. I don't know.
Can she stay home?
She can't.
No, she can't. So what do you do?
Focus on other good things in her truck. No.
In that case, I would say, hey, you know, like, you got to work. There's a lot of work to be done, you know, and the universe has made it so that you got a lot of work. But when you're home, maybe you can get a reading group together. Maybe you can get a study group together. Maybe you can have pooches at your house. So that
what about children? Because Jupiter is the goddess of children.
Jupiter,
maybe. And maybe she can open, like, a daycare center or something at her house, or like a... Yeah, or like a reading,
a reading
tutoring
group, studying
sort of
group,
thing
something.
At
exactly,
home.
Exactly. Yeah. So we get a little something that kind of strengthens that Jupiter and brings more energy into the home for her. We're still not going to keep get her there as much, but at least by strengthening that Jupiter, we're going to get her to enjoy it more. Because that's that Jupiter's trying to give her a sukha from home. Real simple, right? Isn't Argala cool?
Wait, so we're giving remedy to the fourth house to strengthen it? Is that
yeah,
the idea?
Yeah, we
want
to strengthen it. We want her to get a little bit more out of it. We're not going to be able to fully make it win, but at least let's get it so that Jupiter, she's getting to enjoy some of that Jupiter.
Okay.
And that's if the question is like, oh, I'm working so much and like I'm never home. Then you look at that and you're like, well, this is how we're going to make you home more. Start having study groups at the house. Then she's got to leave work early to get to her study group. You know, something like that is going to, by bringing Jupiter activity into the home, we're going to bring her more into the home and bring more happiness from the home. All right. You failed that last one, Dan. Practice. Make sure you guys listen to both years' recordings for this. This is such an important chapter. If you wrap your brain around this chapter, everything else is going to be easy. This chapter makes it all make sense. And of course, we needed all those strength rolls and stuff to be able to do this chapter, right? But now this chapter ties it all together. And makes it all really practical. Like, that was such a practical remedy, right? Have a study group at home. With Perul, she says, you know, nobody knows me. I'm not becoming famous. Like, I'm doing, you know. And we say, hey, start, you know, you need to charge more money for your retreats. If she doesn't charge enough, she won't be, they won't grow. That exalted Mars, she needs to be an expensive retreat. So, such simple remedies. Let's see here. So I'm going to skip 311. Yes.
Real quick, with the Argalas, we use the same exact rules as everything else as well. So if there's no planets in those houses, we look at the strength of the house lords and we look at the, you know, Jaimini strength rules as well.
We're using Jaimini's cheat sheet. Yep.
For everything. Okay.
And we can use other things, but Jaimini just gives us such a good, quick cheat sheet, you know? So, 212, let's see. Sarah or Pooja, which one of you is going to take 212? One of you is taking 212, one of you is taking 17.
I'll take 212, I guess.
All right. Pooja, you're going to be 17, so... letting you know ahead of time. So go ahead, Sarah. 212. This is an easy one.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Didn't you do 5-9?
Yeah.
Okay, you did 5-9. Who did somebody not go? Perul, you didn't go.
Or did I haven't gone now.
All right. Sorry.
It's okay.
I want to make sure everybody goes. Go for it, Perul.
Okay, so like 2 would be things that you are like you're amassing, like resources that you're amassing, wealth, like savings that you get to keep, the way you speak, communicate, the kind of nourishment you get from your family or the kind of nourishment you get from food. And so I guess it's like a wealth house as well. And then the blocking would be...
Food. Tell me good co-op food that's organic and like, oh my God. Like if you had to only buy chocolate from like the local gas station, how would your life be? I mean, like it doesn't matter how much money you have, if you could only buy gas station chocolate, life would, so the quality of food we eat, it is wealth. It is a type of prosperity to have good quality food.
Definitely. And then I guess the Virada being the 12th would be losses, expenses, or maybe like long distances or being away from your family or from resources or comforts, like places of solitude and that are long ways away from home and security, like more of a letting go and wandering kind of an energy. So it's taken away from you versus what you amass, second house.
Okay, so what's Rahu in the 12th house?
It could be like wanting to escape reality by traveling to foreign lands or by maybe taking substances, maybe in particularly smoking substances, because it's Rahu and it's
Rahu takes substances any way he can get them inside. Rahu doesn't care. Just get me
okay,
home.
Okay, that's true. Okay.
And so the, yeah, all that, so traveling and doing all these, you know, traveling to party scenes and distant lands. How's that for finances?
It definitely spends them.
Yep. So, let's take a case of Jupiter in the second and Rahu in the 12th. Tell me about that.
Well, I could tell you a lot about Rahu in the 12th because I have Rahu in the 12th.
I know, but we're in the realm of hypothetical.
Okay. So hypothetically, it makes you reach for, like, it could make you reach for these, like, lofty, or not lofty, but higher, like, makes you yearn for, like, higher knowledge or higher states of consciousness, but it wants you to take, like, sort of the shortcut. It's always seeking, like, this sort of shortcut to enlightenment, whereas with Jupiter in the second house, it might be like you're born in a family that a very high knowledgeable family of high mind, a very learned family, perhaps.
Okay, so just I want to know how those two are interacting in a person's life.
How they're interacting with each other. Okay,
in a person's life, Jupiter in the second.
So maybe maybe you're the black sheep of a very spiritual or
awesome.
You come from a family of meditators, and you are the one that wants to just run off and drink ayahuasca. And,
awesome. No, Rahu won't be running off with ayahuasca. It's running off.
Or go, just run off and you know, take LSD.
Ayahuasca's key too.
Take something. And then the family is like disappointed because you're
Rahu's
not
addictive. Ayahuasca's not addictive.
Yeah, taking their tradition, or you're wasting their tradition, maybe.
Good, but that's perfect. Now switch it. Rahu in the second, Jupiter in the 12th.
So then maybe the family that you were born in, maybe they're like the opposite. Maybe they're confused and their values are confused, and maybe they're going down the wrong path, and you are the black sheep in the opposite way, the white sheep, I suppose, in this case. And you're seeking sattva. So you like leave, like, you know, Texas and go off to India to, you know, follow gurus, or Tibet, or faraway places away from.
What are they spending their money on, that person with Jupiter in the 12th house?
Probably on retreats and meditation retreats and...
Donations?
Donations. They spend their money on good things.
On scientific pursuits.
Yep.
Now, the higher knowledge.
Now, let's go back to the person who had Jupiter in the second, but Rahu in the 12th. Where's their money coming from?
From their family. They could be trust fund family. Kids or something.
They could, trust fund kids is a different combination we do in year two. How's their money coming in? What kind of things are they doing to get money?
Maybe they're teaching English in Japan or something like that.
They're doing good things, right? That's teaching English and wherever. That's good.
What Jupiter teaching, advising, yeah.
The money's coming in from a sattvic way, but how's it going out? How's the money being spent?
Maybe like making a lot of mistakes, like seeking.
If you're spending money, if you're making a lot of mistakes spending money, what's that look like? What makes it so that you make a lot of mistakes spending money?
The Rahu.
Yeah, but what in reality, if somebody just makes all these mistakes when they're spending money?
Well, they're not clear in the mind.
Go deeper.
Yeah, I mean, it's a house of loss, the 12th house, the house of expenditures.
They're losing money all the time. Why? Why with Rahu are they losing money all the time? And not making, my first question? It was not making mistakes in their investments. Why are they making mistakes in their investments?
Because they're putting it in the wrong place. They're putting it in the place of shortcuts, or maybe a quick deal.
Quick deal involves what? Why would somebody do a quick deal?
Shady and dishonest.
They could do shady and dishonest stuff. They could be being cheated. Yeah. What else? Those are all right.
They're desperate.
Okay. Short-sightedness. They're impulsive. Rahu in the 12th makes impulsiveness. So they make mistakes with money because of their impulsiveness. And what did you say, Caroline? You said.
Why is that particular 12th house?
What did you say, Caroline?
Oh, I said they were getting cheated.
Rahu in the 12th, people get cheated a lot.
But why in the 12th?
Cheated and stolen from a lot.
Because it's a house of loss.
What did you say before? Caroline said something?
It's just shady.
Shady deals.
I'll give you guys an example of Rahu in my 12th and how it sort of plays out. Like, so I had some savings and I had invested some money like many, many years ago. And then when I saw that I was getting, like the stock was going up and it was doing well, I would panic, like if something happened in politics or if something, you know, like when Trump was elected, I would panic and be like, oh, the stock market's going to crash. So, you know, sell it. Even though it's something that's good, that's like slowly, slowly been gaining and it's, you know, is there for me as my savings. When something happens, I'll just get like it's gonna crash, get out of the market.
Impulsive.
Like that. So that's a good example of how.
Impulsive and fear-based.
Yeah.
So you see how the money's getting lost with that Rahu in the 12th. Now we reverse it and we put Jupiter in the second. No, Jupiter in the 12th, Rahu in the second. How are they making their money? Rahu in the second.
Same means, it's just that...
No, how are they making their money?
Maybe they're cheating at they're tricking their family into giving them money?
It doesn't have to be family. They could just be cheating. They could be
stealing. They're just ruthless, and whatever puts them on top.
Ruthless. Whatever puts them on top, they're okay chopping people down and lying.
They could be con people, like...
They could con people. What's a good thing of Rahu? What if it was in a good sign? What if it was an exalted Rahu?
They're making money with, like, trends and keeping up with happenings.
With the latest fad of cheap, cheesy something.
Maybe they're writing apps and, you know, they're all into, like, writing the latest app or something like that. Okay.
And then the Jupiter in the 12th?
Yeah, they'd be traveling for spiritual purposes, or maybe they have a guru that they go to visit several months a year or something like that.
Right. So just to be quick, I'll give you a little differentiation. So Jupiter in the 2nd, Rahu in the 12th, they might make money in a good way doing good works, but then they lose their money doing stupid stuff and impulsive stuff and, you know what I mean? Like all kinds of, like, if Rahu was in the 2nd and Jupiter in the 12th, they're making their money through all kinds of shady stuff or whatever, but then they donate their money and they go on spiritual pilgrimage and all right. So you see that differentiation there.
So what if there's like Jupiter in the 2nd and then like a benefic like the moon in the 12th?
You tell me. What if Jupiter's in the 2nd and moon's in the 12th?
I've been trying to figure it out.
Come on. Just make your guess.
The person makes their money and brings in money in sattvic ways, but loses it through their community.
Sure. Know. Wonderful.
Okay.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done.
There seems but like there should be more of that.
But they're losing it through their community, but is it good community stuff or bad community stuff?
I guess would it depend on the state of the moon?
Yeah, but the moon is a benefic. It's a sattvic planet.
Okay, so then good stuff.
Good stuff. They're buying. They're building things at the school, and they're putting on gatherings for people, and yeah. So that's called shubhakartri. They're making their money through good things, and they're spending it on good things.
Okay.
All right. Good job. See, you make a guess. See, Dan, if you would have went with your guest that one time, you would have been better off, right? This is common sense. We're getting to the point where we had to memorize all these things, and now we're going to use our common sense. We're taking all these significations we've learned, and we're just, like, common sensing them. Did we lose Pooja? Did we just lose her visually, or did we lose her?
I think we may have lost her.
Oh, just before it was her turn.
Well, Sarah's got the Viparita.
Viparita.
Right?
Yeah.
On the 3rd house you're talking about? Yeah.
All right, so 1st, 7th, I think we talked about this at one point. More focus on the person versus the other, right? All right, so that's... So the next section here, 204, talks about Argala from different houses. So we've been doing all Argala from Lagna right now. Let's do, and in this example, it's Argala from 4th house. Let's do Argala from, let's see. Argala from roll the dice. Roll the dice.
Can I ask a question really quick?
Yeah.
For 1, 7, I understand it, but then sometimes the 7, it says 7th house will have tertiary argala or varuta on the lagna depending on the relationship between the planet's natural signification and the house's signification. So it can be either, right?
Just say that again.
The 7th house,
yeah.
It can be... It can give Argala or it can give Varuda?
Benefic versus malefic, really, there.
Okay. So, if it's benefic, then it's Argla?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that depends on the planets and the sign as well?
Your Jupiter moon is giving Argla.
Well, that I know, but in general, if there's like no planets in the seven,
then we just take the stronger. So the dice rolled, and we're doing Argla from the third house, and we're gonna take Dan's chart. Why am I taking Dan's chart for the third house?
Because it doesn't have much in it.
Nope. What does Dan do? Why is Dan late to class sometimes?
He's a musician.
which what? It does he play at home by himself?
He may. Doesn't look like it by his face.
Mm-hmm. Where's Dan play music? Dan?
Third house.
Jazz clubs.
So Dan like rocks the jazz club scene, okay? Like he's rocking out. So he's a performing artist. So if we're looking at the third house, we want to know about what's helping Dan's performing, and what's hurting Dan's performing. Okay, so let's do 1-7 from there. Is there anything in 1-7? Nah. So we're not gonna. We could go into what's stronger, but it doesn't matter. You know, if I want it to be intense, we could, but we're not going to go. What about 2-12?
Venus, Mars, and 12.
Venus, Mars, and the 12th. So what's that Venus, Mars doing?
Sexy time.
Huh?
Sexy time?
First, it's which house?
It's the 12th house. It's the 12th one.
So what's it doing? Is it giving...
Taking away, so it's a Garuda. Mm-hmm.
It's Varuda. It's so Venus Mars is actually taking away from his performing. And how's it taking away from his performing?
I don't see how you got that though.
It's 12th from the third. So we're doing everything from the third house.
Okay.
So like that's the 12th.
That's the 12th.
11th, third. We're acting like this is the lot now right now. But we're doing third house.
Okay.
So we're doing 2-12 from the third house. Got it?
No, because if it's 2 and
what's
12...
What's the second from the third house?
The fourth?
Exactly. What's the 12th from the third house?
The
ninth? No, the second from the third house. I mean, the 12th from the third house.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
The second.
So the 2-12. So the fourth is the second, and the 12th is the.
Okay. Thank you.
So 2-12 from the third. So how is Venus Mars hurting his performing career? Huh?
Yeah. That's a taking away from the gains, well, I guess his financial gains. So Venus Mars
spending too much money on the ladies.
Say it.
Or just like being distracted by them.
Groupies.
It's the natural second house, so he's really focused on earnings.
So you do think you still consider
So his focus on money and savings is actually hindering him from performing as much. His need to make money and those kind of things. Now, what about...
So then you would say that's affecting, because then that's naturally the fourth house, which we're looking at as a second.
Uh-huh.
That's affecting his home.
What if he had a house that was he already owned? How much could he perform?
Unless if he owned the house and it was all paid off.
Yeah, he'd be able to rock and perform anytime he wanted, but he's got to work and make money to pay rents and bills. And okay, what about 311?
You're saying performing because it's like your skills. The third house is your skills.
Yeah, third house is the house of performing.
Okay.
So he has Argala from 311. Uh-huh. The Jupiter and Mercury are giving Argala, because he's like the Jupiter, he's like naturally talented. It's exalted. So it's adding the ability to be a talented musician. And
talented musician, we're gonna look at Navamsha type stuff too. Right here we're looking at performing. A person doesn't have to be talented to be performing. And talented in what? Who knows? We're just performing. So again, keep going, Caroline.
Before Caroline goes, can you just go back to the 212 if you're talking about performing the Venus Mars?
Yeah.
You said in the 12th makes him focus on making money.
Yeah.
It's 12, so.
It's 12th from performing. So he's not putting energy. His performing is being blocked by Venus and Mars, which is his need to earn money.
Okay.
We'll do a few examples. So now, what is making it so that so look at that Argala that is helping him perform, Caroline.
It's in the Lugna, so that's him. So, uh-huh. I mean, the Mercury is like the communication with people, like being a showman, like,
awesome. So his personality, his showmanship, you know, they think he's smart. He probably does some like things. Do you make some smart comments too, Dan, when you're jazz performing?
I keep it very, very brief.
But you say something smart, huh?
Maybe.
that's showing. That's going to get you gigs.
Okay.
People want people want that little kickdown of like education when you're about to perform. Right?
Okay.
You see it right there, you know? All right. What about 410? Is getting an Argala or Varoda there?
Varoda.
Varoda. And what would Varoda for performing be? Because the fourth isn't home. Eight. The fourth isn't home here. What is the fourth?
Enemies or disease.
It's the happiness through performing. It's his ability to enjoy it. And instead he's having to go out and do what? Is he getting to do what he wants in the performance realm, or is he having to do what they want?
Is that because of the Rahu you were saying, Freedom?
Well, the thing is, it's Varoda. The 10th is stronger.
So we're looking at the 10th.
We're looking at the 10th because that's what's going down. So is he able to make to do what he wants to be happy, or is he have to does that 10th from the 3rd, he has to go to work. So what does that mean for his performance? Is he going to make himself happy when he performs, or is he going to work when he performs?
To work.
He's going to work, and how, what would that mean? What's the difference between going to pleasure when he performs or going to work when he performs?
He did get burned out on it.
Tell us a little bit about that, Dan.
Well, just because like when you're doing something because it's like really filling your soul, then you're going to continue to do it.
But not the soul. Fourth house is what?
Oh, heart.
Yeah. What is it, filling the heart, or is it work? Tell us more, Dan.
Uh You mean like specifically how it plays out?
Tell us a little bit more about how you go to work versus, you know, and of course you're doing what you love, but you know, how are you doing what you love with that performing?
Interesting. It's changed a lot. Recently, I have been working like with like a lot of musicians that I don't like necessarily want to be working with long term, but you know, it's
it works.
It's like beneficial in my career,
and it makes it so it's work, right?
Yeah, it makes it feel more like work. Although, you know, it's music, so it always feels kind of fun.
It's music, but you know, that, you see, that's tough. Like one of my tough things is, you know, you guys leave and like on a Friday night, I come in here and I pull out some book and I start translating and I'm like, and yes, it's going to go into another book. It's like, am I working or am I having fun?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're playing your music and you love to play music, but it's your job and are you playing what you want to play? Are you playing what they want you to play? And are you playing with who you want to play with? Are you playing what you need to for the career purposes?
Right. Yeah, I'm making most money playing with people I don't want to play with.
But you see, and so it's taking you, it's turning it into work versus turning it into, into pleasure.
Right.
And that's what's happening there. And that's why.
Wouldn't the sun in Ketu also indicate like some sort of being cut off from soul fulfillment from Ketu being with sun?
Right there, it's just Argala Varoda. It's Varoda.
It's just blocking. That it's malefic, so it doesn't matter what it is.
They're all malefic here. So the big thing is are we getting a Varoda or an Argala? And we're getting in a Varoda. We're getting blockage to that fourth house of him getting to do what he wants there.
But don't the planets in that house also indicate like what the blockages are around, or the kind of people the blockages are around?
It's sun, it's work. And his work is getting overshadowed by all kinds of stuff, and he's needing to take a back seat to other big names. That's K2's son.
Okay.
Yeah, don't get too spiritual there. We're talking about performing arts. Let's talk about spirituality when it's spiritual, you know? And let's see, what about what's going on with the 5-9? Well, this is a big deal here.
Exalted moon.
Compared to what?
Compared to a retrograde Saturn.
In its own sign.
In its own sign.
Keep going. What interpretations? What does it mean when there's an equal planet in both sides?
Bandana.
What's that mean? I'm going to be right back. You guys, I want the right answer when I come back.
What's bandana? This one just means they're equal. So he's challenged from his own kind of thinking and inner creative process.
Does it bandana mean like a bind? Like, don't mean like a... Like,
yes.
Pushing it against each other.
Tied together. Bandha.
Mm-hmm. So, but the moon's exalted, and then you said Saturn's Swa, but wouldn't exalted probably be stronger than Swa?
It's retrograde Swa. Hopefully.
I would guess yes, the exalted planet would be stronger.
So then.
But yeah, you're right about the retrograde.
But the community then, so like who's giving him advice would be more, he should listen to that than his own inner workings.
Why would you say advice?
Well, that also is on the seventh house too, so.
Well, the
partnership.
Yoroda on the ninth is protection, past experience, advice of elders. So maybe the moon, he gets protected by like motherly sort of figures in his life, like,
or just the
women, and maybe his intelligence is like a little bit more And his planning ability is...
I don't know. Women. I heard women coming. I just walked back. So our rules. What are the significations of 5-9? What's the significations of the planets? And what's the signification of the houses from Lugna that those planets are in? So first, what is happening 5-9 from that house? What does that mean, according to Argala and Verota? What's the rule?
Equal blockage, since it's one planet in each.
It's equal blockage between what?
5 and 9, 5 Argala.
Five means what?
Intellect and traditions.
His own personal creativity and what he's been told and what he has to do. There's a bandhana between that. He's struggling between, can I be creative and do my own thing, or do I gotta like do the gist of what they taught me to do and what they're expecting? Mm-hmm. So there's a bandhana there. What's winning?
Well, what's winning?
Moon's winning. So
Saturn's retrograde swab.
It's swab. It's fighting hard against it. So the tradition and what his teachers told him, it's winning, but his own desire to do what he wants is fighting it. It's a struggle there. It's a struggle inside of him. All right. So see, we applied, right? Simple.
I said women because of moon, though.
Yeah, moon. It's the ninth, though. It's ninth from the house of performing. So it's the house of his teachers and stuff of that nature. Maybe there's a female teacher or something like that, but this is music theory. This is melody theory. This is, you know, we want to be pertinent to the third house.
So all the significations of the ninth house go to the 11th. And
towards the third.
Right, but I'm saying in this case, because we're doing it from the third.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Freedom, I'm confused because when we did the 2 and 12 from when we were talking about the Venus Mars, you were talking about that he's more concerned with making money because it's in the second house from his Lugna. Yeah. And now we're over here on 5 and 9, so does it matter that the Saturn's in the seventh house? Is there some aspect of like relationship, like struggling to like his other?
Maybe women relationship stuff helps inspire his own personal creativity, right? And it's this sharing with society and culture. But the 11th house, that's, you know, he's following his teachers and the tradition because that's what's going to make the money. That's that exalted moon in the 11th. That's the money's coming when he follows the rules and the tradition and what they've told him. If he does his own thing, there's you know, the there might not, he's fighting against where the money's dripping in from.
So would you?
Do you see how deep we just went into just his performing life? So you realize we can go this deep into every house in the chart.
The freedom with the moon being there, regarding his performing, could that show that whether or not he's forced to perform with musicians he doesn't like when he is performing, it is good for his mind because the moon is exalted there?
That's not what's making him perform with people he doesn't want to. It's the
No, but the moon, would that indicate that at least when he is performing that mentally it's nurturing him?
Nurturing him, not nurturing him. He's got good teachers.
The moon would signify teachers?
It's ninth from the third. Where he's learned, the traditions that he's in and he's been learning from and for this performing, he's been well taught. He's got a good tradition of people teaching him and very skilled, very high-level musicians that he's learning from. And that are telling him, you got to do it like this. And I mean, if it was Rahu there... exalted, he'd have some weirdo, crazy, new age or whatever musician saying, do it like this, don't listen to that, don't listen to the, right? But it's exalted moon, so he's got some awesome guidance coming into how he should be performing. Yeah, Dan?
I think I've had good teachers, yeah.
Yeah. But not just good teachers in general, but the teachers that are guiding you of how to be performing. And to be performing and making money performing, you've had good guidance there. And if you follow their guidance, it's going to make you lots of money. If Dan said, you know, I really want to do my own project and my teacher told me to do it like this and I'm making lots of money and I want to strike out on my own and do my own thing, what would you say to Dan?
Go with what your teacher
said. I do it anyway.
Say again?
Saturn.
I do it anyway.
Say that.
Let's see who.
You know, maybe work on it in his spare time.
Awesome! Yay! High five! High five! Boom! I'd say, Dan, you know, great. Have some side projects, but don't you dare let go of your official gigs that your teachers hooked you up with. Okay? So perfect, Caroline. So, Dan is running Rahu. So, and I teach this again in the Dasha chapter.
Well,
really, in class?
Why not?
That's gonna make you think clear in class, or is what's that gonna do?
There's no THC.
It's just CBD.
I'm sure, but like.
It's no THC.
No change in clarity.
Perhaps just soothing.
Okay, lost the train of thought. Go back. All right.
He's in a Rahu Dasha.
Let's see, who, one of you, who's going?
Sure, you wanna go? What is it? Yeah.
Okay, so give me Argala from Rahu. What's his Rahu Dasha going to look like? 212 from Rahu.
Well, there's Argala from, you know, the second place. Mm-hmm.
And it's Saturn in his own sign, so it's Argala. What happens when Saturn's the one giving Argala?
There's some, I don't know, I want to associate it with some kind of, like, elderly vibe.
Elderly, but let's just take it as a malefic. It's okay. Malefic. It's a malefic giving Argala. So Argala
also
means what?
It'll be somewhat unhappy. It's fixed.
Not happy. We're not happy or unhappy here. Hmm. It's Argala. Argala means what? It's going to. Is it going to
play out or not?
Is the dasha going to be holding him back or going to be getting its desires met, financially?
Okay, it will be holding him back.
It's Argala.
Oh.
It's going to be
It's going
to be making it happen. Is it going to be making it happen in a very sattvic way or in a tamasic way?
In a more tamasic way.
So it's in a tamasic way. He's going to make sure that he accomplishes his needs during Rahu Dasha.
Okay.
All right, Papa Argala. It's a malefic giving Argala. If it was Jupiter there, he'd be doing, you know, sattvic work and good works or whatever to make his ends meet. But here it's Saturn. So Saturn is ensuring that, you know, if a guy gets sick, he'll take his place and totally bump that guy out of his position. You know, a guy won't have a position to come back to when he gets well. And Dan will just be like, sorry. Nice paying gig you had here, you know, like... If it was Jupiter, Dan would be like, oh, okay, like, you know, I'll take care of it while you're gone and I'll find something else when you get better. Mm-hmm. The difference between Papa and Somya.
Okay. I have a question. If Rahu's in the second house, and so we're looking at Argala just from 2nd and 12, and there was no planets, would the ascendant win out for Argala?
There's nothing in 2nd and 12. We don't need to go there. Okay. We can if we want to, but we don't have to. So
the ascendant does not seem as a benefic in giving Argala when it's in those houses. Is it also like the seventh house? in that it gives both, can give both Varuda and Argala, or is the Lagna always Argala?
Lagna's always Argala. So
even though it obstructs marriage?
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, it might obstruct marriage, but it's Argala to the house of Argala is everything that's giving Argala is obstructing something else.
Okay.
Like, for example, Venus in his chart from Lagna is giving Argala. So it's giving him money. But from the third house, it's giving Virodha. That money is taking him away from performing. And if it wasn't for that Jupiter and Mercury, he would be too busy earning money to be performing. But luckily, Jupiter and Mercury are amping up the performance. So we see that 212 from Rahu, there's he's forcefully making money in Rahu Dasha, Mahadasha. 311, there's nothing there. 410, there's nothing there. 5-9. So 5-9 from Rahu. So what's the tendency of Rahu Mahadasha relative to creativity versus being more traditional?
Tradition,
right? The Rahu Mahadasha is going to make you more traditional. Now, after Rahu Mahadasha, you enter Jupiter. How's Jupiter going to be relative to that?
There's no planets.
No planets, so what do we do?
It's going to be more traditional because Jupiter's exalted.
Jupiter's exalted. So Jupiter, unfortunately, is not going to give you that creative jump, you know, of personal expression. But so you see, it's different for everybody's chart, though, right? So, you know, the dasha could change, and then that's the dasha. You get to do your own thing, and everybody goes around you. But nope, you're still stuck in a traditional cycle. Let's see.
Wait,
Saturn.
Why is Rahu? I'm just confused by Rahu. Why is that traditional? I think Rahu.
Fifth. What's fifth from Rahu?
Oh, fifth from Rahu. Okay.
Fifth from Rahu is what?
It's the 11th house.
Not 11th.
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, the 10th house.
And there's nothing in it. What's ninth from Rahu?
9th from Rahu, 12, 11, 10, 9, Venus, Mars.
So what's stronger, the 5th or the 9th from Rahu?
The
9th. The 9th, so Rahu Mahadasha, okay. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I'm going to, and I don't even know if I teach this in this chapter, I think I'm teaching you stuff from the chapter, no, I do teach it. All right. And so, you know, on page 206 here, I have highlighted in bold, it says Argala given by planets in the 10th house to other houses, and then Argala by planets in other houses to the 10th house. This whole in and to, I've gotten into arguments with people, you're saying it wrong. It's like in to, it's like whether you're saying to or in, it's kind of difficult. Because, you know, if I say that Venus Mars is giving Argala from Rahu or Argala to Rahu, it's you know, you can argue the preposition either way depending on how you're interpreting that, you know. But bottom line is we got what we were looking at Argala from the position of Rahu. Now he entered Rahu Mahadasha, and from Lagna, what is Rahu giving to the Lagna? Argala or Virodha to the from the Lagna.
Rahu. Oh, from the Lagna.
From the Lagna.
Virodha.
Rahu's giving Virodha from the Lagna, so it's bringing up a lot of opposition and things that need to be overcome. In the Rahu Mahadasha. Okay, so Rahu Mahadasha is giving Virodha to your final aim and desires. What about we'll just leave it there. So you got how we're seeing, we can see from any house all planets. We can see from the planets any house. Right? From any planet, all the houses. From any house, all the planets. So everything is affecting everything. Can somebody try and think of something that doesn't affect something else? What in your life is not affecting all of your life? So that means when you go home, if you're somebody who turns the TV on, what you look at when that TV turns on, it affects your whole life. Whether you have friends come over once a week or not, that's affecting your whole life. That's affecting your work. What plants are growing in your garden, in your house, that's affecting everything. Are you gardening or are you not gardening? Gardening activates the sixth house. That's, you know, so everything you do is affecting everything you do.
I'm still just a little bit confused.
Okay.
Just in regards to kind of what I was talking about earlier. So like when you're looking from, let's say, the ninth house, and I'm confused as far as like the 2 and 12 from the 9, will they take on the energy of what that what's that called, the Don Argola? So, are they gonna have that energy?
So intention,
or is it more
intention to the house, ninth house? What's the intention? Sorry? What's the intention to the ninth house?
Spirituality.
And, okay, I'm gonna avoid the word spiritual. Get me something more specific than spirituality. Somebody that means doing yoga. Somebody that means going to church. Someone else it means meditating. Like what?
More like your teachers, your gurus, your teachers.
We could interpret as that. That's one possibility. We can go with what Caroline wanted to go the spirituality, but I want more specific.
Things that enlighten you.
Like your religion?
What's religion? What's religion?
What's religion?
Yeah.
It's your form of worship.
Belief. It's your belief system. If you go to church first, you do puja, that's which one are you believing? Are you believing in you know, Jesus as your savior? You go to church and he's gonna save you more? Save you more? Is that the right way? Or do you believe that if you go to Shiva Puja and throw some rice into the fire, Shiva's going to burn more of your sins? Or are you believing that, you know, it's time to do a goat sacrifice and you know, you go to the Vudan ceremony and, you know, they sacrifice a goat to Ogun and you're getting rid of your Mars and so belief system is creating what your religion, dharma, or spiritual stuff is. And so how big it is, how small it is, the direction, how into it you are, how sattvic or not sattvic, it's all there in the ninth. So 212 from that, what is that representing?
Okay, so the 2 is the 10th house. So that's work, but then for the Don Argola, that's like what is the sustenance that's keeping your beliefs going or keeping your practice, your spiritual practice going.
Yeah.
But that's also work too, because of the 10th house.
So I'll ask you this: is for practicing your spirituality, your belief systems, and developing that, is it better to be a trust fund child living off of your inheritance, or is it better to have a job and be working in the world? Which one is going to be better for the ninth house?
Job.
I think I would.
Doesn't depend. 212. Follow the rules.
Oh, okay. It would be better.
Which one gives Argula? Which one gives Virodha?
Oh, the 10th house. So
the 10th house. Work. So our job, going to work, and the struggle that work does, that grows our dharma.
Right.
Being a trust fund child, what does that do to Dharma?
You don't really have to, like work through obstacles. So you're kind of just floating along more.
Yeah. Interesting. You see, everything we need to know about the universe is right here. If we really study this Argala Virodha, it tells us, it gives us all kinds of answers to the universe.
And you're saying trust fund because that 12th house falls in the 8th house of inheritance.
Exactly. So if that house was the one that was stronger, then that would indicate trust fund.
Or other people's money, inheritance, or extreme transformative experiences that maybe knock you off of your beliefs or make you doubt your beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
But then okay, so now we're going to go back to 212 with Rahu and Jupiter. So Jupiter in the 10th, Rahu in the 8th. To Dharma.
Say the Rahu in
Jupiter
the
in the 10th, Rahu in the 8th. We're going to switch it in a minute too.
So Jupiter in the 10th, your career is beautiful, expansive, teaching of some in some form. Rahu in
the Sorry, did I interrupt Jess?
Nope.
Rahu in the 8th is kind of maybe like some like black magic, like occulty stuff.
Okay. And so they're in one realm putting energy into the occulty stuff, but they have a really good career where they're helping people. And there's a struggle in their dharma there. You see that there's a bandhana that just happened and between these two realms. Now, what if we let's switch it. Rahu in the 10th, Jupiter in the 8th.
I have that, except for other planets involved too, but still abundant enough, because it's Mercury, Jupiter in the 8th, and Rahu, Venus in the 10th.
Okay, so tell me what's going on, based on our rules.
On our rules, Mercury is the AK, so... That'll make that house stronger, right?
It's going to help to make it stronger, particularly if we're talking about Dharma. But let's just keep following the rules. Don't take it too personally.
I'm not. That was the first rule that came in my head. okay, so there's Rahu, Venus.
Let's not do your trick. Let's just do Rahu, Jupiter, just so we can...
Okay, Rahu, Jupiter.
Yeah, so we don't put personal stuff in there. We can take it into the chart. We did lots of personal stuff with Dan. Dan didn't know that so much was influencing his performing career. And that everything there is like, bam, impacting everything, right?
Yeah.
So Jupiter in the 8th, so...
Let's follow our 212 rules of Argala Virodha. What is the Argala doing?
Supporting that house.
But how's it supporting?
The ninth house.
Yeah, but how's it supporting the ninth house?
Well, how?
Working on foreign affairs.
Well, it's a specific planet, so it's Jupiter,
The Argala is Rahu Venus in her chart, but for
oh sorry,
but Argala is Rahu here. 10th house Rahu, 8th house Jupiter.
Working in foreign matters because it's Rahu, maybe?
It's a tamasic planet. So there's a real angst, there's a real forcefulness in the workplace. There's a more tamasic energy in the workplace.
Maybe confusion about what her work is supposed to be?
No, it's the work.
Okay.
Yep. So the work has a tamasic energy to it. So it's a Papa Argala. So she's doing this tamasic stuff because she wants to develop her dharma, but does it really help the dharma, being that it's tamasic? You know? Now we have Jupiter in the 8th. I keep trying to not make it her chart. We have Jupiter in the 8th. Jupiter in the eighth is going to do what? It's Virota.
Spending money on teachings and...
Not teachings, per se. Take eighth house. We're in the eighth here.
Maybe spending money on, like, readings from psychics or... I don't know, on voodoo or something like that.
Occult-type experiences, transformative experiences, you know, all kinds of this, like, more occult stuff. So she gets deeply into astrology, and that's Virodha, and does it develop her highest level of Dharma?
I guess not.
It holds back the Dharma. On a certain level, it holds it back a little bit. It's Virodha. It's a positive way to hold it back. And if we're going to hold it back versus doing that 10th house, more tamasic work, it's better, right? It's better we get held back in a sattvic thing than pushed forward in a tamasic thing.
Even though the tamasic thing is what's giving Argala, so the tamasic thing is giving support for the fulfillment of the...
Yeah.
So that's sort of confusing. Can you illustrate it, like, with an example of
page,
how that...
Page
208-209. And then you carry on. We're not just looking at 2 and 12. I mean, you look at the Argala...
Shubha and Akshubha Argala?
Yep, Shubha and Papa Argala. So there, that talks about that.
Okay.
And so, yes, so we see how everything is affecting everything. Sometimes promoting it, sometimes holding it back. Now, let's take it another direction. My chart. I have Saturn in Cancer in the second house and Jupiter in Taurus in the 12th house. Now, you know what Saturn in Cancer is great for? Alcohol. And I have it in the second house. So I could drink lots of alcohol, or how could I make lots of money? If I had a bar, oh my gosh, I'd have such an awesome bar. I'd be banking. But I got Jupiter in the 12th house.
It makes you a seeker.
Makes me a seeker.
Higher knowledge.
Makes me spend my money on spiritual stuff. And that is giving Virodha to that Saturn. So it's not letting Saturn, open up a bar. Hmm. Yeah, you can make lots of money that way, but it's not sattvic. We're not going to... So Papa and Subha Argala. Sometimes the blockage, I make less money. I'd be making way more money. I'd probably have a bar in Nevada City, Grass Valley, Auburn, one day.
Wait a minute. You said you had Saturn in the second house in Cancer?
Yep.
In the second house?
Uh-huh.
And Jupiter in the 12th house?
Uh-huh.
Then how is that Jupiter giving Virodha to Saturn?
He's blocking Saturn from opening up his bar.
On your lagna, not it's not giving Virodha on the second house.
Yeah. It's in the second. Saturn is in the second house. He's giving Dana Argala. Papa Dana
Argala.
To the lagna. Papa Dana Argala.
To the lagna.
Uh-huh.
But then how is that Jupiter? It's giving Virodha to the lagna. How is it giving Virodha to that Saturn? Just by blocking
to Saturn
lagna?
To Saturn himself, he's giving Labha Argala. My Saturn Dasha, I'm going to make lots of money.
Because it's in the second?
No, it's 11th from Saturn. So it's Saturn.
Oh.
Yeah. Argala is Argala from everything.
Okay.
Everything is influencing everything. We're doing Argala Virodha from a house, from the thing, from the... If you wanted to look at presidents and how powerful they are, you could do Argala Virodha from the Gatika Lagna, the GL. If we wanted to look at somebody's dating prospects, if we wanted to look at your dating prospects, Perul, we could do Argalan Virodha from Venus and Argalan Virodha from the A7. Hmm. And then we'd see all about your dating prospects.
You wouldn't do it from the Upapada because it's Well, that was the marriage.
Well, that would be her husband's Argala and
Oh, Varuna. Right. Okay.
A7 is that which... The Upapada is the person that you're married to. They're there. They live with you. The A7 can turn into the Upapada. Sometimes the A7 people have 20 of them before they meet the Upapada. Hmm. Sometimes the A7 merges with the Upapada. Sometimes the A7 is separate from the Upapada. Okay. You can look at the A7 and you see how many boyfriends and girlfriends a person has had in their life.
Hmm.
And you know there's people that date lots and lots of people, and then there's people that they can count their boyfriends and girlfriends or whatever on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's the A7.
Hmm.
Which is different than
Upapada. How do you distinguish that, yeah, though, from the A7?
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. You've dated people that you haven't married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, but the bottom line is we can do Argala Virodha from everything. Everything is influencing everything. And we're over time right now. So, but we're going to do this chapter again next week. So, I want everybody to listen to both classes online.
So, I thought there was a problem with the 2010. I haven't tried to listen to any of the 2010, but has anybody been able to with the new website?
I wasn't able to on my phone, but that doesn't... My computer might...
If it doesn't work, somebody try it tonight and send me an email if it doesn't work. And anything that's not working on the site, send an email so I can send it to the guy who's working on it.
Okay.
Or who was working on it.
Hey, Freedom, I have a question from an older chapter that I just wanted to get some clarification on.
Okay.
And it was back when you were talking about... planets transiting or being combust on either side of the sun, and you were talking about how with Venus and Mercury it travels faster, so it actually, when it's going into combustion, it has stuff that it needs to purify, and when it's coming out of combustion it's purified, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, but it's still combust on either side. And then you spoke about how with Jupiter and Saturn, they're not moving over the sun, but rather the sun is moving over them. So then would that rule be backwards, in that when Jupiter and Saturn are in front of the sun, they're needing to purify, and then when they're combust on the other side of the sun, after the sun has passed them, then they're purified? So it would be backwards from opposite from Mercury and Venus?
I like your train of thought. It's a little more complicated. And you're thinking in the right direction, but they both are impure before combustion and pure after combustion, whichever direction they're going. A planet after combustion has gone through purification. So, and think about it. The combustion after the
Dan,
combustion.
Dan, could you mute? I could hear your.
Oh, breathing. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, the combustion after conjunction. Think about it as if you did like a 10-day fast. How you'd be feeling?
But with Jupiter and Saturn,
whenever
it follows the same rule.
Occasionally,
occasionally
I do like a 3-4-day fast, and people are like, "Oh, your eyes are so bright," and it's like, "Yeah, my eyes are so bright, I'm about to pass out," you know, like, but that's when it's combust after conjunction.
And
as I just said, it's a lot more complicated. The retrogression cycles are very different with Venus and Mercury than they are with the outer planets. And so that retrogression and combustion differences create different degrees of combustion and retrogression. And there's actually two different types of combustion retrogression that is happening with Venus and Mercury. But then we get celestial mechanics and all that kind of stuff. So I like what you're thinking, and you're thinking along the right lines, but the difference that you're seeing, it's they're both pure after they've been burned up. no matter which direction they're going.
Okay, and then when it's in retrograde, does it mean that the more purification has to happen? Because it's already been through once, right?
Just because it's retrograde doesn't mean it's going to go be conjunct twice.
But if it is in the combustion zone, yeah, then it would mean that it needs more, I guess, I'm assuming, more karmic purification.
I wouldn't say it needs more. It's getting more.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. But study the conjunction of Venus Mercury with the Sun. There's a lot of celestial mechanics there, and if you go to YouTube and you search the videos, you'll get a handful of videos that show that there's a very different cycle happening, because if we look at the circle, there's the Sun, then there's Venus and Mercury. And they're in between us and the Sun. And then Saturn and Jupiter and Mars, they're on the other side of us. So they're from outside of us. And they're only getting that combustion when one time. And then they're behind us. Where Venus, it can be in front of us and getting combust. It can be behind the Sun and getting combust. It can be in front and getting combust. So it's a very different celestial mm-hmm. dynamic. So study that. Yeah. And when you study that, particularly for Venus, you're getting you're entering the concept of morning star and evening star. So that's what the change is. Yeah.
I've read about that a little bit, yeah, because it just happened not so long ago.
It happens all the time, so.
Oh, hearing that it was like this particular past season when it went from morning to evening, that there was something really unique about that that doesn't happen. It happens like once every 9 years. I guess maybe it's a complete.
Yeah, there's all kinds of officially special things that, you know, like. Like my eclipse lecture, you know, they happen every 6 months, so there's no world ending, you know. But yeah, the morning study that Mercury-Venus cycle. There's a lot there. A lot of magic there. Literally. All right. So as I said, do your best to listen to, make sure you listen to this chapter. If there's an issue with 2010... let me know. I'll work on that. So it's available. And the website, there's some issue with, I can't update anything right now because just some back end stuff that we're in a lull of the server being switched over. So any change I make gets lost when the server switches. And so I'm waiting for this server switch to happen. And there's some issues for that. But if it's not showing up, then I'll do some other variation to make sure that you guys can listen. That way you hear this twice, and we want Argala. You see how awesome it is. How much did we just tell? Like if Dan walked in and he said, you know, I got this performing gig and I'm trying. You know, what would you tell him about his performing gig before you knew Argala and Verota? You might say, oh, yeah, third house, maybe, and that's it, you know? Now all of a sudden you can you can talk a half an hour about his performing career. And the different dashas, what they're going to do for his performing career. Like, yeah. All right. And then we'll just do more, we'll do all practical stuff next week with Verota and Argala. So the more you study it, during the week, the more you'll be able to get from the next class, and the more questions that come up, and the things you work through, you'll be able to get so much more. All right, one more thing I wanted to throw out there. So, my LIB lecture that got video recorded, there's a PowerPoint slide, and then there's the lecture. And the PowerPoint slide did not come out well in the video recording. And so I have a Friday lecture that was an hour and a Saturday lecture that was 45 minutes. If somebody would be interested in listening to them and watching, and at some points I'm like, and here, and I refer to the PowerPoint, you can't see it. Like writing down the time and saying, at 24 minutes, turn on PowerPoint. And then all of a sudden I'm talking at 24:42 video. At 25:36 PowerPoint. At 25:52 video. And really like going through that to really to give that time. So that way I can give it to an editor and they can make it accordingly. So I have an hour one on Friday and a 45-minute one on an hour on Friday, 45-minute on Saturday. And the Friday one was on eclipses, and the Saturday one is on how to interpret what the upcoming one means. So anybody interested in listening to that and writing down those times, like, email me. All right.
Sure.
So, see everybody next week.
Thank you.
Namaskaram.
Namaskaram.
Yeah.